On the occasion of an ordination or a consecration, the Church joins together under one conclusion, the collect of the day and the collect of the conferral of orders. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. O God, who in a wonderful order hast established the ministry of angels and of men, mercifully grant that, even as thy holy angels ever minister before thee in heaven, so may they ever defend us on earth. Attend to our supplications, Almighty God, so that what is to be performed by our humble ministry may be fulfilled by the effect of thy power, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dear Bishop-elect, Father Rodrigo da Silva, Reverend Fathers, Reverend Misters, our seminarians, dear faithful and friends, and our guests and visitors, our prayers, our petitions today, fill our hearts with high and holy thoughts, gratitude and adoration, thoughts of yesterday, and thoughts of tomorrow, another bishop from other church, the assurance of the succession of a bishop, the apostolic succession of a bishop, the possibility of continuing our apostolate with the fathers and faithful in Mexico and in South America in particular. Father Rodrigo now will be able to ordain those seminarians whom he trains. As we set about today's great work on this Michaelmas, the Mass of St. Michael the Archangel, the head of the heavenly host, the guardian angel of the Catholic Church, we ask him to crush the head of Satan, as we do so often, to defend us in the battle. More, he it is who stands at the right hand of the altar of incense. May he then offer our prayers to God, even as one day he will receive our souls and present them in the sight of the Most High. And that may he assist us as well, mightily, in our final battle with Satan for our immortal souls. May he who arms us for the battle against the Antichrist anoint for the fight today. And may God, through our humble ministry, anoint an angel for us, a heavenly messenger, another apostle in their true apostolic succession. And for God's army, a general, a bishop, whom the Church calls an agoniste, from the Greek, meaning someone who is ready to fight until death. But how fitting and how providential that we do all of this under the wings, as it were, of great Saint Michael, to whom our bishop-elect has always been devoted and whose name he took as a monk, a powerful protection for himself, and a perfect preparation, because every bishop must become today a missionary, a supreme missionary. Our prayers today, all of these, but the collects of the Mass, they always sum up in an official way all that we're thinking and praying of and for, and thus, with every word in the Missal, it is our perfect prayer. Look at the prayers again, the collects. We, who are ministering before God this day, ask to be defended by these angels, whoever minister in heaven. How is this ministry of ours to be performed. Humbly, the prayer says, dependent upon God's power, diffident of itself. That is everything. And we ask for it first from the angels, who knew it best from the beginning. Our prayer today is not for great learning, stupendous intellects, strong, fixed wills, great deeds, the magnificence of money and of many followers. No. First, we are looking today, as it were, under the mitre, for Samson hair. You remember your Bible history story about Samson. The bishop, the new bishop, wears a tonsure. His head was shaved yesterday to as receive the anointing at its crown. In the old days, priests used to wear the tonsure always, and in Brazil it is still the custom. In any case, Samson of old, you will recall, was strong as long as he didn't cut his hair, but let it grow long. Our hair is not to be shorn. That is to say, our humility must grow thick and cover us over. That's Michael's name, isn't it? He, brightest and best of the sons of the morning, is named for his battle cry, Michael, who is like unto God, from the Hebrew. Lucifer would have none of it. The light bearer dropped the light and fell into hell. He had a better idea about how things should be done. And he was driven down to the depths by the second in command who stepped forward. Armed with this humility and all that it means, and it must be a frequent meditation for us, we'll go places. We will do things. Humility ought not to be hard for us today. After all, we are the littlest and the last and the least, despised of men, written off pretty much as crazy, extremists, obsessed, don't you know, and fanatics. But God, St. Paul assures us, God chose the weak things of this world to confound the strong, and the foolish to put to shame the wise. More, we blush to say it, we are the ones who practice and profess the Catholic and Apostolic faith. This gift of our baptism still is ours. We are the ones who are left standing, but it's no game. We simply have not changed the faith and the gift of our baptism. We haven't changed religions. We're what's left. I like to think sometimes of a little litany, and it's good to recite this litany. This morning at the offertory, the new bishop will process to the altar to present his consecrator with certain traditional gifts. I'll receive candles and loaves of bread and 2 barrels of wine. When you see the candles, think of candle wax, how it drips from a candle and could just fall on a table. The loaves of bread, think of the crumbs that occur once you start to cut the loaves. And at the end, that's all that's left. And then the barrels of wine, the last drops in the barrel or a glass, the dregs, what's left at the end. That is us. We must never forget it. But we remember the truth The bishop just told this to our subdeacons as they were ordained 10 days ago. The apostle says, all that is not of faith is sin and schism and outside the unity of the church. The bishop today is the successor of the apostles. For once when the schism and the heresy started in earnest with Vatican II, some bishops did their best to do their duty by the divine law, ordaining priests still and consecrating bishops. Even though this human ecclesiastical law of establishing the hierarchy could no longer be observed because the Pope and the bishops had fallen away from the faith as they embraced and enforced a new religion, the conciliar church. They left the Catholic Church. Those who remained, however, remembered their duty. Expressed in the same words the bishop elect will hear in a moment before the Litany of the Saints. It is the duty of a bishop to judge and to interpret and to consecrate and to ordain, to offer sacrifice and to baptize and to confirm. Our bishops today are indeed part of the hierarchy of the church, the hierarchy of order. The other hierarchy, that of jurisdiction, is a long time now sede vacante, the seat is empty. It does not repose, however, in the conciliar hierarchy, which is outside the church, because outside the faith is sin and schism, says the apostle. Father Cicada, way back in 2003, explained to everyone this simple truth that guides us, which even today learned folk could miss. So I pause for a moment to explain it, lest anyone fall into theological error. Our Lord commanded that the apostles should teach and rule and sanctify. This is their mission. This is the command of Christ. This is the divine law. The matter of how that mission and command would be carried out, passed on to succeeding generations, is determined by church law, changing church law. The ecclesiastical laws have varied over the centuries, sometimes a simple election, sometimes an election with confirmation, very often royal appointment. In time, however, canon law provided for the Pope's confirmation of a nomination and that the College of Cardinals ought to elect a Pope. But due to the absence of the Pope, because as a priest recently said, you can't be the head of the church if you're not a member, why, church law cannot anymore be exactly and precisely followed. It can't be said to apply. Thus, the divine law is left, and it demands our obedience. It endures for all time. The good of souls is the supreme law, even when ecclesiastical law can no longer be followed. Traditional Catholic bishops, then, and priests receive an obligation to continue this apostolic mission from Christ himself. Despite the fact that their succession does not come through the provisions of human or ecclesiastical law, their mission, our mission, is indeed apostolic, for it is identical with the mission Christ gave to the apostles, to the Catholic Church. and not, note, to the false One World Church, the New World Order of Vatican II, which is outside the faith and is sin and a schism, as the Apostle teaches. This is not our choice. This is Christ's command. And this we dare to do this day and to teach always, humbly to obey. Our duty to the divine command, he who regulates the ministry of men and of angels, him we obey. Lucifer would not. He had figured out something else. But Saint Michael stepped forward. And what did he do? He obeyed. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.